Well, I'll first start out. I know that Pastor Marsh talked about, you know, the computer mishaps and how everything he had to apologize for. Well, I have to apologize for my outfit because this morning I was putting on a beautiful dress that matched his and the zipper broke. So this is why you get this today.
Hallelujah. You want to start with that?
Okay. This is when our first trip, we were in Botswana, Africa. This is actually South Africa, because our visas didn't take place right as we had thought, so we went to South Africa to wait a few weeks for our visas to get in, and during that time, COVID hit, and the borders closed, so we were in South Africa for the 9 months. So this picture is a picture of a church that we volunteered at. We cooked for almost 250 to 300 people every day, Monday through Friday. We had the elderly and the disabled first that came in, and then after that we had probably about 100 to 125 students that came in. We fed them. Shannon got to give like a 15-20 minute devotion to them, and then we helped them with their homework. So that was one of the things that we did while we were in South Africa.
This next slide, you see what was very much close to my heart. Becky was usually at home when my leader and I would go do this. As you can see from this picture, this is a school. They're all dressed in their, they always have a suit that they wear to school in Botswana, Africa. What you can't see is there's about 800 students here. This is an amazing time that we get to go into the schools each and every week in each place and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. It works everywhere. I know in our lovely America, that's something that we used to really do. But it's amazing that we actually get to do this in Africa. So what we would do is we would go in there with a lesson, give them a lesson, then we could ask them, do you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And you would be, it was just phenomenal to see the kids start to raise their hands. So not only were we able to do that, but, you know, what comes along with getting someone saved is you must disciple them, right? So we must disciple them. So we used to come back every week and be able to give them a lesson and give them some understanding of who Jesus is and what he's doing in their lives.
My other favorite thing, every Thursday, these are kids from our local neighborhood would walk the streets, and then they would come over to an area right out across the street from us. We would play games with them. We would be able to have the same devotion that he took into the schools. We would give to the neighborhood kids, and we'd have a time of refreshments. And then, of course, on Easter and Christmas, we'd pull out the inflatables like they do here, and we'd have big parties for them. So the last year and a half, due to COVID, we weren't able to meet. We were able to, they gave us extra time on Easter and Christmas. Kids have not been in church for the last 2 years during COVID because they have too much disease. They have to keep it at home. So they aren't allowed. So the little time we were able to spend with them were our walks and our Thursday afternoon somewhere we could go across there, because the cops didn't come and say, no, you can't, because we were just all in the same neighborhood outside. So we were blessed that we were still able to minister to our local kids while we were waiting to get into the churches.
Yeah, this was evangelism, I think, honestly, at its best. We would be able to walk back and forth, and, you know, when some of the COVID restrictions were letting up, we were able to walk back and forth on a road, go down some other roads, and we would have kids coming up beside us. And there's a word for running or walking in the language that they had, which was Setswana. It was called Samaya. Can you say Samaya? Oh, very good. You guys are great. See, you already know Setswana. So what they're doing is it was a walking. So the kids would walk beside us and say, Samaya, Samaya, Samaya. So it was a great encouragement to us. So not only were we trying to be a blessing to them, but in turn, they were being a blessing to us to help us continue doing what we were doing. Yeah, this, because we couldn't be in, the kids couldn't be in church, the youth could be in church. Now, I know you look at these and you go, these people look like they're 25, 30 years old. Well, you'd be right. They're in between, I'd say 17, 15, no, 15 and about 30, 32. So in Africa, the youth ages go up to about 30 because they don't usually marry till after 30 because they have to have what they call a lobola. And a lobola is money that the man has to give the wife's parents. So it's really hard for someone to be able to do that. So they don't get married till a little later. Anyway, these are the people we got to minister to at the church that we were a part of. This is the youth leader. This is the youth and the youth leadership within this, and they're at our place on our grounds, and we're having an American cookout. And what an American cookout is in Botswana is not what it is here. We do hamburgers and hot dogs, right? Most of the time, if we're just having a bunch of people over, when they come over, they want you to have for a bride. They want you to have steak and chicken, and you know the meats that are good, not just the hamburger. But they said, "Hey, we want an American cookout." So I said, "All right, then we can hook you up with that," and it was a little bit cheaper too. So we were able to have them over and talk to them. But now that we've left, so here's the thing: whenever you go out to minister in a missionary place, when you go, what you want to do is when you leave that place, you don't want everything to fall apart that you've put in place there, right? When you go there, you're going there to train up the local people to take on whatever it is they've learned and move forward with it, okay? And that's exactly what these people are doing. These young people are now evangelizing out in their local places, and they're bringing people to Jesus Christ. So it's a plus. It's a good thing that we were over there to be able to help them and encourage them and train them. But they also preached to us. They had an opportunity to preach to Becky and I, so that was just a wonderful time, and we missed them drastically. But you know what? One day we'll get to see them again, because where we're going to where we were at is not too far apart. So we've already talked to some of the youth, and they're going to come and help us in our next place. So it's all working in God's great glory. Go ahead, please.
Go ahead. This is the continent of Africa, and if you look down towards the bottom, you see South Africa. Right above that, you will see Botswana. That's where we were at before. And then if you see this little bitty tiny yellow circle, that's Lesotho. And that's where we will be going. We hope to go and do the same thing that we did in Botswana, work with the children. That's our heart, is to work with the children and the youth there. But before we can do it, our leaders have asked us to spend the first 3 years there just encouraging the local church and building it back up. Because as you can see, it's a small landlocked country inside of South Africa. Well, while South Africa was on the lockdown for the last 2 years, the border of Lesotho was closed. So nothing got in or out of Lesotho. They had to rely on just what they had there. Most of their stuff were exports, so they couldn't export to get the money in. Importing food, they couldn't, so they had to rely on that. So we've got a team going in to help, do with local farming and that, things that they can do for themselves to where if this ever happens again, they won't be without. And one of the main reasons they've asked us to go in and encourage the church before we start working with the children is because even the pastors there have said, "Why has God forgotten about us?" We've had pastors in America, that have helped us through this time, have encouraged us, and has been there to walk through it with us these last few years and to keep us holding on to the hope of God. And they have just got so disappointed and stuff that when the pastors start to crumble, the church soon does too. So they've asked us to go in and to just encourage the leaders and build up the church again. And then after the church gets healthy, then we can reach out into the community and start what we really want to do.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, honey. All right. Can you guys give Becky a hand? She did a great job. Well, I hope you get a little snippet of what we've done and where we're going. Was that clear for everyone? What we have done and where we are going? That's exactly what that was for. That's what we wanted to do. But the Lord also wants us to hear His word. Do you agree with me? Amen. We need to hear His word, and He puts it within His people to do that. So, brother. Marsh has given me the opportunity to bring a word to you this morning, and I want to bring it to you, and I think it's a word in this season. I really, really, really do. And I'm just excited to get to it, so I want to get right into the Word of God, okay? I'm going to pray real quick, and then we're going to go into the Word. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you are a mighty God, that your Holy Spirit is evident in this place, and each and every ear, each and every heart will be pierced by your Word today, because that is what it does, Lord. It guides us, it directs us, and it gives us the understanding we need to do what you have called us to do, and that is to go into all the nations, Lord. Father, we thank you for this word. I pray that it will just touch our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Okay, so today's message is called Pray, Give, and Go. Can you say go? Very good. You guys are on it. Today I would like to talk about praying, giving, and going. Each of these acts of obedience, which they are, praying, giving, and going, are all acts of obedience. They're important to do what we need to do in this world in which we call our missions field. When we pray and we give and we go, I want you to really hear this, because this is what I'm going to talk about today. When we pray and we give and we go, we are fulfilling the great commission that God has commanded us to do. Please, if you don't catch anything else from this sermon today, catch that this is the great commission that we do. In Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation this morning, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey, remember that word obey, all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. A word I would like to point out in these verses is obey. Here's the definition of obey. To comply with or follow the commands of, restrictions, or wishes of someone, to submit or to conform to an action that someone has given you. We have been given a command by Jesus to take everything into the nations. When we are truly sold out to Jesus, we will obey his command to reach all the nations and his gospel and make disciples everywhere we go. In these next few minutes, I would like to talk to you about how praying, giving, and going are vital to the Great Commission being fulfilled. First, praying. Jesus never did anything in his ministry without consulting Father his God. Praying to our Father in heaven, it gives us clear focus and discernment when we go to fill the Great Commission. For example, when Becky and I were called to go overseas mission, it was Becky's prayer the night before I heard the Lord clearly call us into overseas missions. When I called to give her the news that God had called us into the missions field, it didn't surprise her. Like, she wasn't surprised about it at all. And I was kind of like, really? I just took this last 40 minutes where I was, where we were called at this missions convention. She's like, oh, that doesn't surprise me. I'm like, what do you mean by that? It was because the night before, Becky had been praying and asking God if our time of missions, going to like different places, we had been on different missions trips, if that time had come to an end. Or were we supposed to go on another missions trip? You know, she's asking God this the night before the call to missions came to us. Because of the prayer that Becky prayed, we had our first of many confirmations that we were to be overseas missionaries. You see how important prayer is? She's praying the night before. God puts it in my heart the next day that we're supposed to be missionaries overseas. You see how prayer works? It works with God. It works with you. He does a great, great work within you as you pray. Listen, prayer is the compass that continues to point all of us towards God's will. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is the compass that points us towards God's will. If we will stay engaged with prayer with the Father, he will continue to lead, guide, and protect us as we fill his great commission. Amen? So I said praying, giving, and going. Here's the giving part. Giving has always been a part of the Christian's DNA. Am I right? Amen? Okay, amen. That's what I wanted to hear. It has always been a part of our DNA. From Genesis to Revelation, we find giving weaved in and through the Bible, okay? In Genesis 4:4, Abel brought a gift from his flock. He gave the best that he had to offer to God. Also in Genesis 14:19 through 20, Abram, before he was Abraham, he gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered from the battle that he had won. And let us not forget the most important, the most extravagant giving of all. And that is what the Father gave us, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. The one that took away the sins of those that would call on his name. I ask you today, do you call on his name? Because he loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to live inside of you. We have been taught to give a tithe in the church. Am I right? Am I right? We are taught from a young age to give a tithe to the church. The first fruits of our earnings, whatever that may be. When I started to understand myself what giving a tithe was, I couldn't wait to invest back into the kingdom of God. When you invest in something like God, the economy of God, you can't go wrong. You can't. You just can't. You can't outgive God. I don't know how many times you've heard this, but I'm telling you, I know for a fact you cannot outgive God. God has been so generous to give us all the things we need, hasn't he? It only seems right to obey his command to give back a portion of what he has been giving us, right? Am I right? Amen? The other type of giving, I just don't want to talk about the monetary. I want to talk about another type of giving with you also. The other type of giving I would like to talk to you about is the giving of ourselves to the Great Commission. Each and every one of us has been given gifts through the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7 says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways. We all know this. We've seen it everywhere. God works in different ways. But it is the same God who works through all of us. He works in all of us. And then verse 7, this is a very important verse. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Hallelujah. If we read through verse 11, we see that the gifts that the Apostle Paul... If you read through verse 11, from 7 to 11, you see the different gifts the Apostle Paul lists. And I'm just going to go through them real quick. They are the gifts of wisdom, the message of knowledge, the heart of great faith, the gift of healing, the power to do miracles, the ability to prophesy, the ability to discern spirits, the ability to speak in different languages, and others the ability to interpret those different languages. Each of these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit so we can do our part of fulfilling the Great Commission. He puts us in each and every one of us, guys. What we have been given by God, we should be freely giving back to others or to one another and to those that do not know him yet. I would put that in parentheses. For those that do not know him yet, that's who we really need to be talking to. We need to be talking amongst brothers and sisters, but we really need to reach the lost. I don't know if you guys are seeing it or not, but I'm seeing the Lord's return is coming soon. I think it's coming soon. So this is a very pointed moment. We need to begin to really reach out to the people that need Jesus Christ, okay? If prayer is the avenue in which we give God, that God gives us direction through communing with him, praying, right? That's communing with God. And giving is the highway in which God has puts our his gifts that he's given us to good use. Then going is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it really happens, is we really go out and do this action that God has called us to do. Each one of us has been called to go. Can you say go? Yes, you got it. The scripture I referred to in the beginning of this talk was from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. It says, therefore, go and make disciples. The going part sometimes can be intimidating. I'm not going to kid you. I understand that that can be intimidating, especially if you're an introverted personality. That can be hard for someone to just go out and start having a hard time talking about Jesus. But here's an example. My wife, Becky, in all her beauty, is an introvert. I, on the other hand, am big time extrovert. But she lived in the same town within 2 miles of any direction, never leaving Clinton, never living anywhere else within a 2 mile radius for 50 some years. But when the call came to go overseas, she said yes to God. It is not easy. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. It's not easy to leave your family. It's not easy to leave your friends. It's not easy to leave your church and go to another country. It's not. But because she was willing to receive direction from God and use the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit had given her, she answered the call to go. As I stand before you all today, I realize that not everyone is called into overseas missions. I realize that. But that does not exclude you. I'm going to say it again. That does not exclude you from the Great Commission. The Great Commission is for all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. One more scripture. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Can you say everywhere? Everywhere. Yeah, everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the utter ends of the earth. To put this verse in our geographical area, Jesus would be telling us to go to Maroa, to go to Decatur, to go to Harristown, to go to Kinney, and be his witnesses. You see, we are all missionaries. Say, I'm a missionary. You are. You're a missionary. I promise you, God has put you on this earth to be a missionary. We have many people right here in our backyard that need the gospel of Jesus Christ given to them. These people are our neighbors. They are our co-workers, or even a waiter at a restaurant. No matter where we are, we should be shining the light of Jesus. Amen? As I was preparing and praying for this talk, I realized that some people here have had the call to missions for overseas for years. But something has always taken up that space, and it seemed that that door would always be shut. I'm here to tell you that that door is never shut on a call that God has given you in your heart. He doesn't shut those doors. They're still open if God has put that in your heart. There are many avenues in which we can do overseas missions today. You can do a short-term missions trip to help kids out like what we did. You can do that. You can also go for a medical, you have nursing or you're a doctor or anything like that, you can do like a medical missions trip. You can do this, folks. The options are really open today for overseas mission. If God has given you a burden for overseas work, I would ask you to come and talk to Becky and I. We're going to be at a table right out here. And we can give you some instruction and give you some help and direction on how to do that. If something comes up later, talk to Pastor Marsh. And he can connect with us and we can get you to the right people and the right place at the right time. If you have a call in your heart for missions, okay? He never, let me say it again, he never lets go. He never lets go of that call that he's put in your heart. He remembers it from when you were a child, or maybe even today you hear the call to missions because you have a missionary standing before you talking about the great things of God. Don't put that away in a closet, okay? Pray about it. Ask God, where is it you're leading me to? It's a real thing. It's a real call, or Becky and I wouldn't be on the missions field. It's a real thing, folks. So I just want you to know that call never, never dies. If God has given you if God has given you that burden, please come talk to Becky and I. But please remember above everything that your missions field, if you can't go over right now and God isn't calling you overseas, it's right here in Moroa, and it's in Kinney, and it's all around you. It's in Clinton. People need Jesus Christ everywhere we are. And God, and Jesus told his disciples in Acts, he said, start in Judea. That was around where they were at, right? Then start to work out from there. And now Becky and I are working the utter ends of the earth, right? We're in Africa. Hallelujah. I'm glad that we get to go. And it's because of you guys that we get to go. You guys are praying for us. You're giving for us to go. And we can't do nothing but thank you for that. We really, really appreciate that. So please hear that from us today, okay? We appreciate each and every one of you. And we felt every one of your prayers while we were overseas. So please remember also that we are all together in this to build up the kingdom of Jesus. Not the kingdom of Becky and Shannon, not the kingdom of Scott Marsh, not the kingdom of anyone else, but Jesus Christ. Are you with me? That's who we're building up today. We're building up Jesus Christ. So now what I want to tell you is go. Go. Don't leave this dormant in your heart. Please don't leave this dormant in your heart. We are called to do the Great Commission, and may we all go out and do that in Jesus' name. I want to pray with you real quick, then I'm going to have my brother come up here, and then we'll finish up the service. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this glorious day that you have given us. We thank you for this word that is from your heart, Lord, for you, Lord, tell us that we are to be about the Great Commission, the commission of seeing people saved, seeing people filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray that each and every person in here today, Father, would go out and do the work that they've been called to do, Father, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Father, we thank you for all these things, and I thank you, Lord, for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, one more thing before I step down. If you want a card to pray over us, we have prayer cards in here, and we have some pictures running on a computer that would kind of show you what some more pictures that would show you what we did. But we'd love for you to pick up a prayer card, please. You can just put them on the refrigerator or wherever you're going to be the most, and just put it on there, and you can, when you see it, you can be reminded to pray for us, okay? God bless you, and thank you very much.